Get started. Those who have the PDFs from the WhatsApp group, you have the text, and we are on Perek Shneimasar Hahechrech L'Kiyum HaMitzvot, or as Nike would say, just do it. Okay, that is the theme of this chapter, and I believe this is the first for us, and that this is the first chapter which is significantly bigger than any of the other chapters. There is not even a chance that we could even in an abbreviated way do it all in 1 week. Whether we'll do it in 2 weeks, whether we'll do it in 3 weeks, I'm not sure, but it is a much bigger topic, so we'll see how far we can get today, but we're not going to try to run and finish an entire chapter of this size. So, as I just mentioned, the theme of this is, what should impel a person? What is the mechayiv? Why is it necessary? What should a person feel that it's instinctive, natural, and necessary to do mitzvos? Says Rav Olvi, opening up the chapter, Kishimedabrim al Toras Chaim, Ein Zemelitza. We talk about Eitz Chaim, Hila Machazikimba, Torah is a Torah of life, Toras Chaim. Says this is not just meant to be a slang or a cheap Madison Avenue type expression, a tagline. This should be real. And he very, very sharply makes his point in a way that is really, I could see someone even, doing a double take over it, by creating an analogy and a parallel between the life of the spirit and biological life. Hachayim ha-biologiyim, nosim et atzmam. Says, biological, physical life, this is of course a famous expression, like from the Aron, it's nosei et atzmo, it carries itself, by which he means to say, the benefits or the necessities of various physical activities, they prove themselves, meaning they become obvious. For example, and therefore automatic. Kolomar hatzorech bepulot v'chinuyot k'neshima achila v'shtiya sheina. Right, the necessity to do all the essential activities of physical life, like breathing, eating, sleeping, drinking, murgash lonav ofen instinctivi. Right, instinctively we understand we need to do these. Let's explain to us why it's important to eat, why it's important to sleep, why it's important to drink, etc., etc. Ha'ifut machricha utanu lishon ha're'ei v'hatzama l'echol v'lishtot. Right, when we're exhausted, we need to sleep, we're hungry and we're thirsty, we need to eat and drink. I will point out that not everyone eats and drinks only when they're absolutely hungry or thirsty, but that is a different point. Not only is the exhaustion necessitate the sleep, the fact that we feel better and refreshed when we wake up is confirmation, if we needed it, that the sleep was the right thing. The fact that we feel full after having felt empty and hungry and thirsty, the fact that we feel satiated and full and refreshed after eating and drinking is a proof, if we needed it, confirmation, if we needed it, that it was the right thing to do. In other words, he says, summarizing this phenomenon, Harei pu'ulot ha'chaim atzman mochichot et ha'tzorech v'ha'atztaka behen. The very acts that we do in life, these physical, biological acts, they themselves are the greatest proof or the greatest confirmation of their necessity. We don't need, it's an inner loop. We don't need anything external to explain, to confirm. The necessity is internal, and the confirmation that we did the right thing when we responded to that feeling of necessity, all of that is kind of an inner loop, a closed loop. So now comes the bigger chiddush. Second paragraph. Kein hachayim b'torah. So suggests Rav Olvi, ideally, ultimately, whether we feel it or not, I guess that'll be the caveat, that should be the life of the spirit, the life of Torah. Yeled. Asher horav gidluhu al birkei haTorah v'haMitzvot. A child, and again, everyone in this room should think of themselves either as the child, or as the parent, or as the grandparent. Most of the people in the room are both, or have been both. If you are a child who grew up in a religious home, mevin mitocha chayim ha'elu atzmam et hechreich l'kiyum haMitzvot. This is a very, he's throwing down the gauntlet. Again, my only caveat, I think I agree with everything he's saying, theoretically. I don't know that it's always true, and maybe this is, at least he's setting us a target to aim for. But he's describing it as, almost obvious, and again, the parallel to the biological is really striking. He says, somebody who grows up in a from home, who grows up with Torah and mitzvos, then mimela, naturally he'll understand in and of itself, just naturally, through the osmosis, through the experience, he'll understand the necessity of kima mitzvos, just like a person biologically understands the necessity of eating, drinking, sleeping, etc. Huroeh! Person who grows up in such an environment will see. Eich shehatfila bezmana machazeket et horav v'shomeret al tzelem elokim b'toch chayei chulin. Right? talk about something that should inspire us to make sure we get up for minyan. It says, if you are a child growing up in a house, you see your father getting up for shul every day, being makbir on the zmanim, going to minyan. So you are internalizing a lesson. You see how tefillah is machzik your parents, how it makes them strong, how it gives structure to their life, how it is in and of itself, it's shomer on the tzelem elokim, in the life of chulin. I'll just add in parentheses, he's talking about kids growing up in a home. One of my colleagues at yeshiva, Eli Weber, who before making aliyah and joining the yeshiva was for many years a Wall Street attorney, he therefore has a lot to say to Talmidim in ways that people like me who've only been in the shul and the base medrash world can't always speak to Talmidim, but he really lived both lives. He talks all the time about a few different things, but one of which is he always stresses to the Talmidim the importance of minyan once you get out of, when you're in the workforce. How it's a completely different life. A person who's in minyan every day and doesn't, exactly this point of Revolvia, the structure it gives to your life and the innate spirituality that it infuses your life with. Exactly what Revolvia is hoping that every one of our children, even growing up in our homes, should feel, but certainly from a perspective of the older person, being able to impose that order on their life in the workforce and outside, exactly as he says it. Shomeret al tzelem elokim b'toch chayei chulin. It's a beautiful expression. Halavai, shenizkeh. Furthermore, Birkas HaNenin, whenever we make a bracha, a child should have been brought up, he sees his parents making brachas, he himself is being taught to make brachos, they should feel that every time they make a bracha, Mosifot Tipa Shel Atzilut V'Ruchaniyut, right? It brings a certain, even a little bit, of princeliness, of spirituality, not to mention Hakara Satov, Emuna. Again, just pause for a second, forget about whether you got that as a child or you're giving this over to your children. Right, that may be a little bit more deflating if you're not sure that you're conveying this. But just think, if you detach it from the what he's describing as spiritual, but what he's saying, which is, I think, it's profound insight, and we should all really be thinking about this. Even something as small, as minimal, and that takes a second and a half as a bracha, if properly appreciated, and I guess that's the key, it includes all of these different things. There's a certain elevated personality, a certain spiritual, a certain... Right, in fact, I made a bracha that expresses emunah, that expresses hakar satov. All these little things in every little shahakal you make without even thinking about it. Lahana gashmit, right? It elevates an entire approach to the physical. It's an amazing thing. Again, many of us have learned ourselves, we've heard shiurim or lectures about the Jewish approach to gashmius and how we're not the same thing maybe as the church. We have and that's like a really complicated topic, and you could have also, it's like a graduate course on things like that, right? Or you could just pay attention every time you make a bracha. I'm not minimizing being mazalzel and people write books about these things or articles or graduate courses. But the point is, those are all embellishments and expansions on a truth that is profoundly expressed every time you make a bracha. The Jewish approach to physicality and physical pleasure, which is an incredibly, a radical chiddush in light of other religions, secular or religious, because there's such a thing as a secular religion, I think. We've seen that, that's for sure, in recent decades. Our approach to that incredibly complex question, you could either write a book on it, which is fine, or you could just pay attention to what you're doing and make a bracha. It's profound. It's profound. Unbelievable. Who? Mechakeh, the Shabbat ul-Mo'adim, a child who's growing up in a from home. He's excited for it. He waits for Shabbos, for Yamim Tovim. U'mitzvos hayom potechet lo sharei bina b'mahut am Yisrael. And the various different mitzvos, they give him a window of insight into the nature of the Jewish people. But pelah ha'chaim, into the wonder of life. But tachlis olam, the purpose of the world. Midor ha'borei, to whatever extent we can understand Hashem. You're a family that invites people over for Shabbos. You have guests, let alone sleepover guests, which most of us do now that we live in Israel, much more than we ever would have done when we lived in America. Haknasat orchim, gemilas chasadim, hazahirut me'ona b'dvar ma'aseh, being honest in business in all the different ways. Tzniut b'chol halichot habayit, right? Tzniut does not mean b'chol halichot haskirt. Tzniut b'chol halichot habayit, right? Tzniut is a broad concept, a way of orienting your life, of modesty. Kol midot elu. I'll add parentheses, things which, if you're from, you take for granted, and or sometimes find annoying. And his point is, halavai, we only took it for granted. But the point is, even that would be wrong. Not just not to be annoyed or take it for granted. All of those little things that are part of our day-to-day from life, they've just become part of the rhythm of our life. Kol midot elu, all these things, b'chayei Torah, nosodet atzman u'matzikot atzman. If you would just appreciate them, their benefit and necessity, two different things, their benefit and necessity are as self-evident as eating, sleeping, drinking, and breathing is on the biological level. And afilu achukim, he says. And listen, even the things that aren't as obvious. He gives an example of all things. What's his first example? Hilchos Shemitah. I've heard a lot of Torah about the reasons of Shemitah. Rav Volbi calls it a chok. Interesting. Ubasar b'cholav. Not having the cheeseburger, or, you know, waiting 6 hours. Shatnez. Hadiktuk ben, being careful on all these things. Mi ze lo margish ki achayim behem makne atzilut v'adinut. Which is a way of saying, it's true, we may not understand all the details and everything, but don't we feel like we live a more elevated life? Again, I think here, sometimes the people who work in a more secular environment or have those kind of interactions actually maybe have a benefit over somebody like me, whose life is nebuch, only limited to I'm pretty widely read. I'm not that I'm unaware of what's going on in the outside world, but I don't actually really interact so much. That's the reality of my life, for better or for worse. But people who do, whether it was when they were living in America or even in Israel, it's not just about Jew versus non-Jew, even secular versus religious. It says, don't you, again, if a person thinks about it, don't you think, isn't it, it's a beautiful life. It's a beautiful life. And again, now, if we don't always feel that, so then we're missing the target. I don't say it as a criticism. I'm saying we just have to be aware. I'm saying it's a diagnosis, not as a criticism. So, but in theory, and I think many of us do feel this way, if not all the time, then a lot of the time. Not every day. But you take a step back. If you had a choice, now, you know, especially at our age, would you want to live a different life? If you could have? I'm not asking again. Sometimes when you're 15, you might have said yes. But at this point, would you really prefer the life of your coworkers, if that's a relevant example? Or the life that you read about in the news, or you see in the news, would you prefer that? Again, I'm not saying they have empty. I'm not criticizing. This is not anti-Chiloni, not anti-non-Jew. But don't we feel that our lives are enriched, that it's better? He says, the necessity and benefit, really, again, it should prove itself. Just like that's what he means by no say at that moment. If it's not, then we're missing the target. We have to be aware of that. Someone who grows up in a frum home, again, in theory, again, and obviously the difference between the practice and theory, I don't know if it was 100% of his day. And for the record, his kids didn't grow up exactly like him either, which is a side point, that's not a criticism, but that's a well-known fact also. But in addition, but in theory at least, in theory, someone who's growing up in a frum home, it should be obvious. He shouldn't have to explain to himself why he's from, why he wants to be from. Rather, HaTorah hi chelek mechayav. Torah is a part of his life. And again, there's a lot of reasons why, at all points in history, it wasn't always the case. And it certainly seems like, at least we feel, because we're in the moment, it feels like it's more of a problem in our generation than in previous ones. I'm not sure if that's even objectively true on a statistical level. You know, I think it was not this past summer. You know, you lose the mind loses sense of time in Corona. I think it was the first summer of Corona. It's kind of pathetic that we have to even qualify that already.
Seven years ago?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Seven Shemitahs ago in 4 score. So I think it was Rav Schechter was giving like a series of like 6 history shurim. I think they're all online now. I think you probably can get them. Anyway, originally they were Zoom shurim, but I think they're all recorded. Anyway, he was speaking about different, you know, early and mid 20th century gedolim. It was like kimat every one of them. Yeah, this one had 3 kids who went off the derech. This one had 2 kids who intermarried. I mean, that was by far more common than this gadol had a son who was just like him who became a gadol, or this gadol had a son-in-law who became just like him. That happened. But far more common. I remember him talking about Rav Shimon Shkop and other. I mean, the gedole achronim. It was not better than it is now. The interwar period, geferlich. Lithuania, not what they told you when you're in yeshiva. Again, there were islands of Kedusha. But even the people who inhabited those islands weren't necessarily successful. I'm not blaming them, it's just a fact. Passing it on to their own families. So, again, there are some unique challenges now. And we feel, you know, very frustrated. And the pain of a family who looks at their own children who are not living what this page has described can be unbearable. So, I'm sure he, Rav Volbi, who was a tzaddik, would not be mezalzel in that. And I'm certainly, chas v'shalom, not in any way making light over, criticizing anyone who's dealing with those kind of challenges for themselves or with kids. But at least understanding the target. Right? You know, we don't always hit the target for all sorts of reasons, which not necessarily are even our fault. But at least knowing what the target is. Isn't this true? Isn't this compelling? That's what he's basically asking us to consider, and I ask you to consider. B'cholzos, gam zeu misimani hachayim ki yesh lanu ta'am atzmi. And nevertheless, despite the fact that in a certain sense it could go on automatic pilot because it is so obvious, but there should also be independent reasons. Cheshek atzmi. It shouldn't just be, well, I grew up in a from home house and my parents were loving and Pesach in my house was always great. And, oh, what a Shabbos we always grew up with. So I look for, but it should be more than that. I should also have a desire independently. Shifa atzmit b'chayim. Avechad meitano eno chayit chayav hagufanim b'derech matzah sanashmin l'mora. Ki l'chayim hu ma'as avos b'yadav. Does anyone eat or drink just because their father did? L'chein hashomer torah v'mitzvos. Derech ma'as avos b'yadav. Chod l'hatorah liyus etzlo torah chayim. So again, it's a very interesting, I wouldn't say paradox, but he's going back and forth. We can even say dialectic. On the one hand, the first two paragraphs are, a very powerful expression of the ability of creating an environment in which it just becomes an obvious necessity and benefit of life in Torah Mitzvos. And then he says, on the other hand, if that's the only reason a person is doing Mitzvos, well, because that's what my father does and that's what I grew up with, then you've ripped the life out of Torah Mitzvos. It's not a Torah Chaim, it's not a living Torah if you're just doing it because that's what my dad did, because my mom did. Hein kishaya bebeis harav safag chaye Torah. It's good that you absorbed also the things from your parents' house. Aval chayim elu lo hafchol liyot chayim atzmim shelo. But if it doesn't become you, there's something missing. Right? It's rotting. Kovan hashtaleit achayev Torah. There's a certain rot. And the problem, just like we see in various biological and natural examples, right? You don't always know the rot when it starts. Right? You have to wait until it bubbles to the surface until you start seeing the symptoms of the rot. And often it's too late, right? Rachmanu Litzlan, Rachmanu Litzlan. That's why certain cancers are more deadly and more lethal than others, right? And sometimes you have this miraculous, thing called early diagnosis, right? A lot of cancers, even something like a pancreatic cancer, right? It's treatable when miraculously it gets caught early. It's just almost never caught early because there aren't symptoms until it's too late. That's just the nature of that particular cancer. And others examples, and it's true in the... So there's a rot. It says, if you may not realize it, but if you think about it and you can tell yourself honestly, the only reason I'm doing all these things is because, well, that's how my parents did it and that's the house I grew up in. Whether you realize it or not, there's some degree of rot underneath the surface. Let's just do a little bit more. Kishalim adam lamu hu shomer Torah mitzvot hu meshiv shechonech kacha b'beit aviv mashal l'mah adar v'doma. So again, if you ask somebody, again, based on the first part of the essay, I might have thought this was a good answer. I ask somebody, why are you being from? Why are you keeping the mitzvos? And the answer is, well, it's the house I grew up in. Again, there's a certain truth to that for many people. When I was younger, I thought it was very sophisticated to have this thought experience with myself. What would I think if I had been brought up, in Iran? That's how I would, same genes, but I'd been born to an Arab family in Iran, right? Would I still think the same things I think about these Arab Israeli, but it seems to be obviously I wouldn't. So what does that mean, right? You could twist yourself into a puzzle and then you just fall asleep crying, and I don't recommend these kind of things too much. It's in college, and then hopefully you grow up. But anyway, but let's say if you ask, let's say that's the only answer you could give right now. Again, you look at yourself in the mirror, you ask yourself, why do I do all this? Again, in this very room, we have people who made decisions in their adult life to be religious or Jewish. So obviously those people, this is not even relevant. But the majority of the people in this room were probably brought up from. So if the only reason you're doing this is because how my parents were, he says, you know what you're comparable to? La'adam sheshalul. Lamu hu ochel v'shotel l'te'avon hu meishi. Why is it that you're eating and drinking? And he answers, ki kachu ragil minurav. Ah, my mom always taught me I should eat dinner, so I eat dinner. You sound like an idiot. But more than an idiot, he says, you're lying. B'chal zeh hincha ochel v'shotel ata. Really? Really? That's the only reason you eat and drink now is because your parents raised you to eat and drink? Sheker v'chazav. It's a lie. It's not even true. Right? You're eating because you enjoy it. You eat because that's what you want to do. You drink because the water is quenching your thirst. Yes, again, now he's trying to have the kasav hashlishi. For those of you who studied Hegel, we did the thesis, the antithesis, now we're doing the synthesis. Or as we would say in Yiddish, the kasav hashlishi, in Yeshivish, the kasav hashlishi. That is to say, yes, on the one hand, there are certain benefits to the house. On the other hand, there are certain deficiencies of all it is from the house. So what's the answer? What's the synthesis? On the one hand, yes, of course, there's a tremendous benefit, hopefully, if you're fortunate enough to grow up in a from home, then you have a natural heregesh. You have a feeling, this natural instinctive feeling, a simple understanding, simple in the best sense of the word, that Torah is a Torah of life and that it's true. But if you never move past, again, it's an unbelievable basis. It's a great foundation. But if you never move past that, kikach or galta, because I just do things because that's the habit. You know, I always grew up, my dad always said, you got to go to Minyan. So I go to Minyan. If that's all it is, chaser lecha hasemen hamachria, then you're missing the most important point. Ki amnam ha-Torah, hi yaslecha Torah chayim mamish, again, you're doing the things, you are. But you don't really have the true understanding of why this is the right thing to do. And what is that right thing to do? With the million-dollar question. Mahu if it's not enough, ultimately, to be just because that's what my mom told me, that's what my dad told me, so what is the real reason? Ki ani, that's the dagesh, ani, muchrach umtsuve l'kayim ha-mitzvot, afil mihorai lo gilu oti l'torah. Again, maybe I wouldn't have thought of it, but objectively, I have to believe in my heart that even if I hadn't been brought up from, it would have been the right thing to do anyway. And even if I don't feel all the things he talked about in the first paragraph, the beauty, the natural beauty of the rhythm of life, of a Shabbos, and the scent of the potato kugel cooking on a Friday, and that's going to bring me back to even 20 years from now, I'm going to feel... All that, again, it's poetry, the first paragraph of this chapter. Of what it means to grow up in a from home and the from, lifestyle. Even if a person doesn't have that, if you really, really believe that this is true and necessary, what's that belief? M'chuyavut. We have to do it. Again, this is not, if he would have just stopped here, it would have been a little bit unfair. But we're stopping here, so I'm sorry. But that's why this is a longer chapter. But this is the theme, and this is what I mentioned. This is why the title of the chapter is Hechrich. At the end of the day, as we'll elaborate more next week, says the reason we do this is because we believe it's true and we believe we're obligated. If you don't feel that in your kishkas, it doesn't make you a bad person, but it means that there is something missing. There is something missing. And if you don't feel that, then you may just do this because of habit. When I remember years ago, there was somebody wrote an article, I think it was in the Wall Street Journal, about, orthopraxis. Right, people who were not necessarily believing, but social orthodoxy. I think that was the term that was coined, I think, in that article. Social orthodoxy. I grew up that way, so I do it. If you open me up, do I really believe in anything? So Revolbi is diagnosing this a long time ago. Right? There are people like this, unfortunately. So that's, again, so why are they doing it? Well, my friends do it, I was grew up that way. Again, those are all good things, they all contribute. Life is complex. But there is an important ingredient of the belief in the truth. And therefore, the necessity of this, again, it's very extreme. I mean, this is my opinion. I think it's extreme. I think it's an extreme truth. But he's laying down the gauntlet for us in terms of something really powerful of this parable, this mashal to parallel, I should say, to biological life, right? Why do we do mitzvos? Why do you breathe? Right? Now, there's a gap between those two questions for most people. But if the gap is too big, then you're not in the best place spiritually. As close as possible to the instinctive reason that I breathe, because of course I have to breathe, because that's the right thing to do. I'm not going to breathe. So that's how much of our conviction should be with Hechrich of mitzvos. Again, I don't know if there's anybody who's 100%, I'm not sure. But the closer we are, that's the closer we are to the target. I'm just going to end by just a quick story, which is I gave a shiur in yeshiva this week about a certain kind of contemporary topic. And again, I try to, this type of afternoon shiur that I give to them, I try to pick, not always, but often, more cutting edge or controversial topics, because, you want to get kids to come to a shiur in an afternoon seder. Again, in my case, it's either that or them staying with essential learning. It's not like it's a bad thing if they don't come to my shiur. It's bad for me. So I try to give them a little compliment to Bava Tzia, in some of these afternoon shiurim that I give. So the issue in the particular sugya I spoke about this week was not particularly important. But as I always stress, there are a lot of politics around the current topic that I was doing. But we're not doing the politics. We're doing the makoros. Everyone likes to hawk about topics that they know nothing about. So instead of being an amoritz and then just talking about it at the Shabbos table, let's learn the sugya. So this one of the particular Talmidim, who actually, at least on one of his parental side, on one of his sides of his parents, comes from a very, very yeshivish background. And happens to be very close with his father, who has this, I guess, more of a Lakewood background. Anyway, so we were talking about this certain sugya, and He didn't say it, but my guess is he was at least persuaded that there's a legitimate other approach. I wasn't advocating for a particular do this or not. I was showing how in Makaros there really are two different perspectives on this very sensitive issue. So he maybe was persuaded, I guess, I don't know, about that approach. But he said to me, like, but maybe I'm mechuyev not to agree with that because my father doesn't. I said to him again, you know, it's for a longer conversation, and you know, we can talk about it more next week, because I was running at the time, but I said, if all you have to think for yourself, you're already 19, 20 years old. You may think for yourself and agree with your father. That's great. But you don't have, you know, on a major, you know, philosophical or halakhic question, it's not a question of where, how do I wrap my tefillin? Oh, my father. And our family, we wrap it this way, not that way. You know, I don't say you're allowed. It's more than that. You have to think for yourself. That's exactly what Volbi was saying. I didn't know he was going to do this piece this week. He says, it can't just be, well, this is the way my father thinks about sugya X or sugya Y, therefore I do. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing if you come to the same independent conclusion as your father. It can be very beautiful. But it's, again, I'm not talking about doing usher things. We were talking about just different approaches to something. So you have to think about it. If there's a certain rot. I wouldn't have said that to him, but in hindsight, that's exactly the word that Rav Volbi used. If all you're doing and you don't think about anything, you have no independent opinions, it's just, well, again, so it's not dangerous in a certain sense, you'll stay on the path, but are you really alive? Something to think about. Have a good Shabbos.